do so with the best intentions and the best at heart.
Wow, that was great, Dan. And we'll as we're coming to a close here, just your thoughts again on Will and what he's accomplished and your hopes for his future.
Well, if I can say this without choking up, you know, here's a kid who has really gone through some tough times, and what he cares about is everybody else. Thank you, Will. You made me a better person. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You're fine.
Thank you, Mr.
You're fine. Wow. Folks, this is if you're listening, this is a sign for you at home to be the best human being that you can be because of what Will has done and the example that he's showing all of us here on this program this Saturday. This is your moment to be the best person you can be because there are no excuses, really. And Will, you are living proof of that.
Thank you.
I want to thank both of you for joining us and for sharing your story. Again, we have a U.S. Presidential Scholar semifinalist, William Russell Vollmar III, and the principal of Bigfoot Union High School, Dan Dowden. Until next time, bye everybody.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of education leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator. This program originally aired April 18th.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters, recording from my home and several other homes today, because as we all know, we're facing challenges as we work together to quell the COVID-19 epidemic. Staying home or working in such altered conditions is difficult for everyone, but probably most of all for families with young children in the house. Children need activity and socialization, as well as schooling and structure, all of which require extra steps when confined within our homes. Many parents are also trying to work from home or have to work outside the home and try to stay physically apart from their families when they are in the house, because they don't want to contaminate anyone. So here to talk with us today, we have three families and a few of the staff members from Curtis Strange Elementary School. They'll tell us a bit about the day-to-day life under the stay-at-home order and how their school has functioned as a virtual hub for activity while everyone is staying at home. So our first guest is Kristen Gustin. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi.
So tell me about your family. How many people are together? Have you been able to leave? Is someone in your family still working outside the house?
So in my house is my husband, myself, and my six-year-old daughter. I normally work from home. I work online, so I'm used to being home working online. My husband is an IT guy for Lake County, and so he's been working from home during this time. And then my six-year-old daughter is home, and she's adjusting to doing school at home every day. So
it's a cozy arrangement in your house.
It is.
Okay. So when did you first hear about the idea that the kids might be home all the time? And what did your school do to help inform families about what was happening?
Well, it happened really fast. On March 11th, there was actually a field trip, and my husband and I both chaperoned, and we went to an Admirals game. And it was really fun, but we had started hearing, a little bit about the virus and stuff. And so at the field trip, there was all kinds of hand sanitizers, and we were wiping surfaces down and everything for the kids. And then that was a Wednesday, and then that Friday when I was picking my daughter up from school, her teacher said something about, hopefully we'll see you on Monday, but we're not sure. And then I think it might have even been later that day we found out that they wouldn't be coming back on Monday and that we're going to be doing school from home. Well, actually, at first, we didn't talk about doing school from home. We just weren't sure what we were going to do exactly at that point.
Right. Yeah. And it's been complicated because some families don't have internet or have devices for their kids, so they can't really do it. And then the school system started sending them home, let people pick up the ones that belong to the schools, so they have a device to work with. But yeah, right. It's very, I mean, if since you already worked from home, I guess you were somewhat set up for it. Is that mm-hmm. right?
Yes. And my husband too, he normally works one day a week from home. And so it was just adjusting to doing it every day instead of just one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then at first, my daughter was just using some apps that they use at school that they can also use at home. So she was just kind of doing that, doing some math and reading at first. And then the schools sent out Chromebooks for all the kids. And so now she does pretty much a full school day right at home.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are only required to do about an hour of work a day, but my daughter thrives on routines. So it's really helping her to have lots of activities and things that she can do every day. Great. So it's been really nice.
So you have been in touch with your child's teacher and from the beginning, or at what point?
Yep. Yeah, right from the beginning. She's always been very good about being accessible to the parents, so we can get in touch with her. There's an app called ClassTag that we use to talk, and then also text messaging, email. She's very available. She responds very quickly, so that's been really nice. And then since the schooling at home stuff started daily during the week, the kids can meet with her certain hours through Google Meet, and then they can show her the schoolwork they've been working on and say hi to their friends. And so that's been great.
That is pretty amazing. I keep thinking back to 1918 when people would try to were facing the flu pandemic and they were trying to shelter at home with more kids and no technology. Can you even imagine?
No, I'm so thankful that we have all the resources that we have available to us, because I cannot imagine what life would be like without all of this, mm-hmm. all these helpful things.
Would Alana like to come in and say a few words about her experience?
Sure. Let me go grab her real quick.
Okay.
Alana, come here, please. I have someone here that would like to ask you some questions about doing school at home.
Okay.
Can you say hi?
Hi.
Hi, Alana. My name is Karen. I'm very excited to hear about what it's like to go to school on the computer. What's your favorite part of it?
My favorite part?
Uh-huh.
I think you like phonics dance.
I like phonics dance.
Do you?
And number corner. We can't see you, so you have to talk.
Yeah, you'll have to talk.
Say, I like number corner.
I like number corner.
Yeah. Do you get to see your friends on the computer?
Yes.
Yes? So do you get to say hi to them?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. What's your favorite thing to learn in school? Do you like reading?
Reading?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
You love it. Oh, good for you. Well, it was nice to talk with you, Alana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, I'm back.
Thank you. That was very sweet. I think it's good to sort of get a sense of what's happening with kids. Sounds like your daughter is pretty happy about this. And it's not, I'm sure it's not the same as going to school, but it's going all right for her.
Yeah, she loves it. As long as I keep her busy, she's a happy girl. So she really likes it, and she likes being home, but she does miss her friends and her teachers, and she does ask me often when she gets to go back to school.
Right. Yes, I think we're all feeling that way. So what is a day like under the stay-at-home order? Do you have to take shifts so that you can both get your work done and get her work done as well, or how does it work?
No, my work schedule is very flexible. So if I don't get a lot done, that's okay. Mm-hmm. So what we do in the mornings is, you know, we have breakfast and coffee, and then I get her started with her Chromebook, and then I do a little bit of work. And then in between, like when she's switching activities, I can help her in between doing what I'm doing. So it actually has been working out pretty well.
Good.
Yeah. We try to get outside every day, and she helps me with the chores. So yeah, so it hasn't been too bad.
No. What's your biggest concern at this point as a parent?
I don't have any strong concerns right now, but she is an only child, so she's not getting that social interaction, I think, that she really needs, especially at this age. So I'm really looking forward to when she can play with her friends again.
Yeah, I bet she's feeling that way too.
Yeah, she is.
What are some unexpected benefits to the situation that you've found?
Well, we've been, you know, forced to spend so much time with each other, so it's been an adjustment, but it's actually been really nice too to have so much family time. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing fun things together, like baking and all kinds of different things that maybe we wouldn't have time for if we were, you know, running her back and forth to school and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is sort of interesting. And have you found your daughter's school to be responsive and helpful in all this?
Oh my goodness, they are the absolute best. I don't know what I would do without them. They're amazing. They just have been so, like I said, so available. Anytime I have questions or trouble with anything, they're right there. And the teachers have scheduled just so many fun things. They made a complete lesson plan. So even though the kids only have to do about an hour or so, there's enough there to keep them busy most of the day. And it's all fun. And the kids, at least my daughter, she loves doing it. So I'm really thankful for that.
That's great. Well, we really appreciate you sharing kind of this little window into life under the stay-at-home order. We hope that the rest of the spring and summer, and everybody wants to be back in school in the fall, don't we?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thank you so much, Kristen. We're back, and now we are talking to Sarah Smith, who is a teacher at Curtis Strange Elementary School in Kenosha. Sarah, what grade do you teach?
I am a first grade teacher.
Okay, so you have little ones, and it's kind of a crucial year because they're learning to read, and that's one of the biggest things they're learning, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
Right. So, so tell us a little bit about, first of all, when you first realized this was going to happen, and then to the extent it was possible, what kind of preparations were you able to make?
Oh my goodness, like none. There were rumors going around on Friday, March 13th, that it was possible that school would be closed for a while. So we kind of heard, we weren't positive. We had the kids take home some things that they had there, but no idea that it would be for this long. Mm-hmm. So we left. I had nothing, none of my teacher materials at home. All the kids' school supplies are still locked in my classroom. So yeah, we had no idea what we were in store for.
Have you been able to go back and retrieve any of your resources or not?
No. So there were a couple days the kids could go back and pick up medications and things. And we, in fact, had a few parents who were like, I don't need to do it because I'm sure we'll be back in a week or so, having no idea that it might go on for months. So they have made exceptions to let some kids in there to get those things. But as far as getting into our classrooms, we have not been able to I was able to go back one day. We gave out Chromebooks for the entire building. They could come, but that was just access to the hallway, basically. Mm-hmm. So
you have been able to, you had Chromebooks in the building that you were able to distribute to families who needed them?
Yes.
Okay.
I know we have, I think we're close to 300 Chromebooks being either picked up or we've been making home deliveries for those families. So.
Oh, that's
very, very lucky to have that.
Right. And do you know if that's happening in other schools in the district as well?
Yes, I've seen different things on Facebook and whatnot of other schools doing similar things. So,
okay. So then after the big day when the decision was made, there was some rumbling and talk about trying to teach online and yes. some back and forth around that. So in the end, what are you doing now? What are you attempting to do for your students?
We are working really hard on trying to make things that are motivating for them to do. Try not to just send out busy work that is going to make it worse on them and their parents. So we meet as a team, a building every single Tuesday. We meet in our teams every single week as our grade level team. And we're just working together, dividing and conquering and trying to make lots of videos for the kids that are easy links for them to click on that they can learn from. It's a challenge. It's different for us. It's a whole new world. That's for sure.
Right. What is your biggest concerns about maybe this? It's actually a month today that school has been closed. Yeah. What are your biggest concerns about what they're missing?
We're worried about how to make kids accountable. You know, the district's saying we recommend it, but not requiring. We're very worried about them being ready for the next school year. But I think even more worried about our students' well-being. Mm-hmm. We'd make lots of phone calls, emails, texting, trying to get a hold of these families on a regular basis to make sure everybody's healthy and safe and has what they need. So, you know, the education part is important, but in this time, a lot of families have other things they're really worried about right now. Mm-hmm. So just making sure we're there for them. Our counseling teams have been working with families and, you know, in a perfect world, we'd be able to get everybody going on online learning. But right now, some of the families we're just making sure are okay.
Right. And has there been any upside to this that you've been able to see?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I've been able to meet with my students. I have virtual office hours every day from 10 to 12. I've seen every stuffed animal, every pet, you know them from stories they tell, but you really know them after getting to see them online and meet their whole family and see them every day. It's really kind of cool. I also like being home with my own family. That's a nice thing.
Right. So you told me earlier that you have kids of your own. So they're probably trying to do online schooling while you're trying to teach. How is that been?
You know, some days are easier than others. I'm sure for any parents that are trying to work from home, you know, my eighth grader, I have an eighth grade daughter who is pretty self-sufficient and good at this online learning already. So she really needs little help from me. But my fourth grader needs tons of help. So I'll be in my online office hours and he'll be, you know, very antsy for me to get off so I can help him get through his list of things to do. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, which I do. I do love this time with them, but I've also learned that I love my job just as much as being a mom, and it's much easier to do my job at school.
Yes. I would agree. I have a different population of students, but it's definitely easier to see them in person. And I miss them. I think you probably
very much. Yours.
Right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time and for your help in getting families signed up to talk with me, because I think this is an interesting time for all of us and something that we'll want to remember. And now you've helped contribute to the historical record for COVID-19. How do you feel?
Well, I'm very glad to help.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Karen.
You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion with families with young children about what it's like to stay at home and try to continue at school during COVID-19 pandemic is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So I am now welcoming Kristen Birch. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
So tell us about your family. How many people are together? Have you been able to leave? Is someone in your family still working outside of the house?
Sure, absolutely. There are three of us living at home. My husband, Adam, and my daughter, Penelope. And then I guess we do have our puppy, Charlie, here. So three of us. I already was working from home. I work for a university, and my position allows me to already be at home. Mm-hmm. My husband works for Aurora Hospital, and at the beginning of March, they were told to work from home. Only essential patient care frontline workers were going to be working in the hospital location. So he has been working home ever since. So the three of us have been here about a month now, almost, in the house every day together.
So when did you first hear about staying home? And was there anything the school did to help inform you about that, or how did that happen?
Sure. We had been watching the evening news. I believe it was a Friday evening, and they had issued, you know, the state order saying that they were going to be, you know, closing the schools. I believe it was going to be that next week, like Tuesday. And very shortly after, we did get an email from the school saying, as of that Friday, they were done. So they weren't going to have the children come to school that next couple of days on Monday and Tuesday, like I said. So, I mean, we were informed pretty quickly after it was, you know, issued on the news. We didn't have to wait too long for information from KUSD. So I believe they sent a text as well, but I know for sure an email.
So have you been able to be in touch with your child's teacher?
Yes, absolutely. She's been available for text messaging. We have sent texts a few times just with a couple of questions. So she's been really easily accessible, which is nice. She also has done a Zoom chat with the kids just once so far, but then also sends them messages through their apps when she notices that they finish one of their books, or she'll award them some extra points towards their progress in the game or the app. So that's been kind of nice for Penelope to just get a few of those words of encouragement from her teacher, because I am not, you know, I wasn't trained to be an educator. So it's nice to get those words of encouragement from her teacher as well.
I forgot to ask what grade your daughter is in.
She's in kindergarten.
Oh, okay. So that's even more complicated, because it's not like they can just hop on their phone the way a fourth grader might be able to.
Yeah. Yes. So I really have to be a little bit more involved with, yes, getting her into the app and letting her know, you know, she can read some of those sight words and things that they've learned, but by no means can she go into their website, look at the assignment suggestions for the day and determine what to do. So I have had to be a little bit more involved with that than, you're right, what I would like a fourth grader.
Right. So I'm wondering if you've been able to keep in touch. I know when you have little ones, a lot of times you get to know other parents and families. Mm-hmm. And a way to keep in touch so that the kids can communicate outside of school stuff.
Yes. We have the Kids Messenger app, and we found that some of the other kids at school have the Messenger app. And you have to, as a parent, approve their connections, which is really great. It allows the privacy settings to be good for the little ones. And so she's gotten to play some little fun games on there, have video chats with some of the other kids in her class and that are on her soccer team.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, is there any kind of virtual soccer that they can do?
No, we haven't heard of anything yet. And we're just holding out hope that they get a season, even if it's late. You know, much later than usual, but no, nothing yet.
Nothing yet. Yes, I'm sure they're all anxious, and they would love to be able to tell you that it's a season, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is a day like under the stay-at-home order at your house? Do you have a schedule, or does it sort of, do you have to trade off because both of you are working from home?
Realistically, my husband's job doesn't allow him to really help with the homeschooling aspect of it. So I'm kind of, she stays home with me on Mondays and Fridays all day, but we're very lucky that my husband's parents, she is a former high school counselor and music teacher. So Penelope does go to their house Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings while I have heavy meetings, because I have heavy meetings in my schedule during those times. And so she does get to go over there, and Grandma gets to help out with some of the schooling. And so she's well versed now on the KUSD website and how to find all the items that Penelope needs. So we're very lucky in that aspect, because we get to share some of those duties when my husband can't necessarily help out due to his work schedule.
Right. And it also gives everybody a little bit of a change of pace, I suppose. So you're,
kindergartners really need that change of scenery, I feel like, and they just, they need some of that change up. And I know not everyone is that lucky to be able to have that. So we are blessed that she's willing to help out.
That's great. So what's your biggest concern right now as a parent for sort of this missed schooling opportunities?
You know, my biggest concern, I have a couple. One just being, am I doing everything right? Are we helping to keep her at the same level and even progress from where she was when school ended? And then just the anxiety of thinking towards the future. You know, it's one thing to help reinforce what she's learned, but if, you know, something crazy happens and they don't start right away in the fall, you know, am I going to be able to provide her with what she needs to be successful moving forward at a first grade level? And even have they had conversations about what they're going to do if that happens? So from the mom aspect, that's where my biggest concerns probably are. She is totally cool with whatever. You know, she does miss her friends and her teachers, but she actually is doing pretty good at rolling with it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I think everybody has that concern, and that I don't think anyone knows. This is going to be the fodder for thousands of studies in the future to compare, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have there been any unexpected benefits in this situation?
You know, I think number one probably is just getting to see your child learn on a daily basis. You know, you get to see the assignments that they bring home and they're writing, and, you know, you get to hear them count in the evenings or do those fun little things, but to see her actually sit and, you know, go through the process of completing a suggested assignment or being inquisitive on things that are more school related than just, you know, out on our walk or, you know, those types of things, that we would do on the weekends typically. And that's been something neat to see. It's also, of course, nice to be able to just spend more time, you know, with a kindergartner especially. I mean, that first little bit of kindergarten is hard for a parent, especially when we only have one child. You know, you're excited for them, but also nervous and sad because they're not home with you all the time anymore.
Right.
So it has been nice to be able to spend a little bit extra time, you know, just bonding a little bit more with kind of what we're all going through. So,
right. Well, I really appreciate that you gave us this little insight into how this is playing out in your home. And I'm sure our listeners are also grateful. So thank you very much, Kristen Birch, for giving us a little of your time.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
You are listening to WGTD-HD-FM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion with families of young children about what it's like to stay at home and try to continue with school during the COVID-19 pandemic is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So right now I'm meeting with Gina Copen. And Gina, tell me a little about your family. How many people are together now? Have you been able to leave? Is someone in your family still working outside the home? That sort of thing.
So we are a family of three. I have my son, who is a fifth grader, and my mom, who is 77, who lives with us. We have not really left. I do kind of the basic shopping and have gone into my own school to do some computer handouts and things like that. But for the most part, we're kind of making sure that we're following what the orders are.
So you're going to your own school. Are you a teacher as well?
I am. I am a K-5 STEM teacher in Waukegan.
Oh, okay. So you are a teacher and a student in the same household.
Yes.
Okay. So this will be interesting because you're in a different district. When did you first hear about staying home, and what did your school do to help inform children and families about what was happening? So both your son's school, which is Curtis Strange, and your own school in Waukegan, was there a difference?
There was. Curtis Strange in Wisconsin answered a tiny bit later than Waukegan did. We were told on the 13th of March that we were going to be doing some remote things, and they had to get that in place. And then a couple of days later was when we heard from Kenosha Unified that that was going to be happening.
Mm-hmm. So you were you anticipating that it was going to happen for your son as well?
I think once Waukegan sort of made that move and other places were making the move, I kind of anticipated that that was what we were going to end up doing.
Okay. And your son is a fifth grader, is that right?
He is, yes.
Yeah. So has he been in touch with his teacher? Has he been able to do some work while he's at home?
She's been really great. They meet twice a week through a Google Meet, and so she's able to kind of reach out to the kids. They are posting their assignments weekly, so you can kind of work through them at your own pace. He's been doing the work. It's a little bit like pulling teeth, but we're getting things done.
That is the tricky thing. I've seen a lot of people posting about being a teacher and trying to homeschool your kids through this is really a challenge.
It's an interesting challenge for sure.
Right. So what's a day like under the stay-at-home order in your house? Do you all start school at a certain time or?
I tend to try to start about 2 hours before anybody kind of gets up and moving to make sure that my plans are settled and for the things in my building. And then as he gets up and has breakfast, we pull up our Google and see what we need to do and bookmark our pages for the day so that he can kind of do what he needs to do independently. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of try to filter in, look and see what he's doing, how he's doing, and then kind of go back to my stuff. I'm also the tech trainer in my building. Mm-hmm. So I field a lot from the beginning of the day to the end of the day.
Wow. So yeah, that sounds like a lot. So your days are full.
They're full. Yes.
So what is your biggest concern at this point, either school-wise at your own school, at your son, for your mother?
Well, I think the biggest concern is making sure that everybody is healthy. Mm-hmm. As far as the education piece, I know that he is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But making sure that he understands that this new way of doing things is how we're going to do things, and there are expectations to that. And then my concern personally is being a teacher in a highly urban area is making sure that all of those kids are okay too.
Mm-hmm. Right. That is a big concern. Did you make any effort to make sure that the students had devices that they could connect with the internet before you closed your school in Waukegan?
So we had to roll it out at the point that the district said that it had to be rolled out. So we actually did 3 days of Chromebook handout. Mm-hmm. So we had to make sure that they were cleaned, make sure that the directions were there so families could get on. And then we utilize our Facebook page, and our teachers have been incredible about reaching out to families so that we can make sure that they did have devices. So today was the last day that anybody who needed a device throughout the whole building was able to get that.
Wow, that must be a huge effort to make that happen.
It's interesting to see what has to happen and how you have to keep people safe and keep yourself safe and make sure that in a technological age, that everybody's getting what they need. And our parents are really good about reaching out. Our Facebook has amped up over the course of time. And so people are comfortable reaching out and making sure that they're asking their questions. And our tech department's been fantastic. So, you know, everybody is really doing their part. You mm-hmm. know, Kenosha's doing their part. I'm impressed by videos that teachers are putting out. It's really touching.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that they're making connections and seeing if we're all okay and what we need. And, you know, it's those relationships that everybody talks about being so important, that when you have them, they're continuing in this virtual age.
Hmm. Well, I was just about to ask you if there are any unexpected benefits to this situation. You kind of just named one. Can you think of any others?
We're eating a lot of meals at home. But it's nice, you know, it's nice to have that time and things like that. But it's interesting too, when you're used to your space and your schedules and things like that, when everything sort of stops and it's like, all right, let's go play a game or let's bake something, you know. So it gives you a different type of time, I think, is what the benefit is the time is used differently.
Right. Well, I deeply appreciate you talking to us, Gina, about your own school in Waukegan and about your son's school, Curtis Strange, here in Kenosha. And best of luck to all of you.
Well, thank you. You too.
Okay, last but not least on our program today, we are now speaking with principal of Curtis Strange Elementary, John Bardeen, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what happened on that last day of school. Do you remember that day? I guess it was Friday the 13th, correct?
It was a crazy day, you know, but we, in the end, you think about safety during a time like that. And so, you know, at that time, the big immediate issue was to get everybody home safely. And unfortunately, nobody had a time to really do anything other than kind of stay at home. And so people were left without things and materials, but everybody got home safely. And at first, that was our biggest concern. So that happened.
Right. And then since then, I know that schools have been sharing some of their electronic devices. Did you all have to do that as well?
Yeah, we gave out close to 200 so far. Lots of families who needed the tech. We also have lots of students who did use these on a daily basis already. So we just gave them what they already had. Honestly, lesson learned there, just hand them out in the beginning of the year like you would a spiral notebook anymore, and we wouldn't have this problem. Everybody will have it no matter what. So that's just a lesson learned from all of the craziness. It's a positive. Mm-hmm. But we gave out quite a few of them, and then we've got a few loose ends where we kind of ask parents, if you have an issue, please contact us. So we're at that stage where we find a way to make a safe and healthy exchange so that you have what you need.
So what are you most concerned about while your students are not with you at this point?
Well, my biggest concern, you know, like the parents, is that it's the kids are not learning right now. And, you know, kids are kids. And so the health is the number one issue, without a doubt. But past the health issue that we can't really affect once we're doing what we should, which is staying home, at home you should be connecting to what the teachers have put together. It's an absolutely wonderful website, www.kusd/strange. It's an excellent site for parents to put the kids on and give them a couple of hours to put into their work and submit some things, communicate with their teachers, watch some of the videos the teachers have made, and make sure their learning doesn't stop. That's my biggest concern, is that reading goes down, learning stops, and, you know, there are other schools that are continuing on, and we don't want to fall behind.
Right. Yeah. So there's always a concern for all educators that students in the summer lose some of the learning that they've had during the year because they're not doing as much. Some families, of course, spend a lot of time doing enrichment in the summer, but not everyone does. They call it the summer slide. So now we're having this extra dose of potential slide, and you're hoping that people will be able to focus and not let that happen.
Yeah, we don't want to see that fallback that happens. And so, okay, this has been a big enough break. Anybody watching it, if you're not reading a book, you should.
Yes, right. So what do you miss most about being at school?
Well, you know, there's this laughter and this hum of activity. It's kind of a buzz like a beehive. And no matter where you go at school, whether it's kids or adults, you hear laughter. And it's this just kind of a ring of just an energy of people working together very positively, having a good time. And I miss that. It's an energy that you just don't have at home. It's a very quiet, peaceful, quiet house here. And I miss all the noise that together makes music.
Is there any upside to this confinement period?
Well, I think the only upside that you can see for me without all the human interaction is all the replacements we've done to get to connecting with each other. And so, like I say, I hope parents really push the kids to get online and connect with the teachers. It's certainly forced a lot of teachers to do what they do online, which isn't the same as being in person, but they're doing a really great job trying to offer some really good opportunities to communicate online. And while it's not school, it does have lots of good lessons. And so I hope the kids, you know, check it out and come visit their teachers and their grade level.
Great. So you're going to have the last word in this interview. Is there one final message you would like to give to parents, both at your school and just sort of everywhere that might be listening?
Yeah, when you know, no matter what you do in life, you live and you learn. And in the end, we will learn an awful lot from this. So I want everyone to make sure that, you know, especially our kids, that nobody's scared. It's not going to go back to the way it was, but we're not going to change everything. We're going to keep like 90% of everything the same. That's what humans do. But we're going to change some of the things that we expect kids to do, to communicate, to get online, to do a little bit more on their own. And so I hope the kids that are from our school really take some time to learn and participate, because this will teach you what you need to know anyway.
Great, thank you. You're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion with families who have young children about what it's like to stay at home and try to continue with school during the COVID-19 pandemic is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. Thank you, Mr. Bardeen.
You're welcome, my pleasure.
This program originally aired April 18th. You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
I'm Gregory Berg, reminding you that the morning show is now available as a podcast, and this weekend I'll be sharing some very memorable interviews. On Saturday, I'll drop my 2005 conversation with John Brogan, author of the bestseller Marley and Me, Life and Love with the World's Worst Dog. And on Sunday for Mother's Day, Hope Edelman, a conversation from 2008 about her book Motherless Mothers, How Losing a Mother Shapes the Parent You Become. Subscribe to The Morning Show with Greg Berg via Spotify, Google Podcast, or Apple Podcast.
WGTD-HD sounds a little different now on weeknights and weekend nights. Overnight classical music will now be provided by live hosts from the Classical 24 Network, and we'll also include NPR news at the top of every hour between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. Monday through Thursday, and after 1 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. On Friday night, Jazz Night in America is now on an hour earlier at 8 p.m., followed by music from the Jazz Network from 9 p.m. till 1 a.m. Thank you for choosing WGTD-HD.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radial Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters. Our topic today is waste and recycling in the city of Kenosha. My guest is Keir Powell, Superintendent of Waste and Recycling. He's part of the Department of Public Works for the city of Kenosha. Good morning, Keir.
Hey, Len. Good morning.
Keir, we've got lots to inform our listeners about. Let's start with the current news-related topics. What's the impact of the COVID-19 plague on waste and recycling operations? What's it changing? What are the issues involved for you, your staff? What should we know?
It's been interesting. It's something that even in the industry across the nation just hasn't been planned for. Typically, we do have contingency plans for like disruptions. We have flood damage, we have tornadoes, blizzards, and other things that kind of get in the way. And we have plans in place for those. And even a couple years back, where we had so significant flood damage, we were right on top of it the next week. This is something that a predetermined plan just didn't exist. So we had to be more flexible, and we had to adapt to something just to maintain the standard of service that the residents expect from us and that we expect from ourselves. With everybody staying home now and that stay-at-home order, and I even have kids who are home now from college, and, you know, with all the business.